race is essentially like the shows of the 70s, like Hollywood Squares and stuff. So he brings out these like obscure slash queer slash like, you know, D-list like television personalities and stuff.
Like I'd almost expect Bruce Valanche to make an appearance.
He has.
Bruce Valanche has appeared on RuPaul's
100%.
Drag Race. 100%. This RuPaul's Drag Race is the modern Hollywood Square. You're not wrong.
And seeing Shadow, I was like, why isn't she as successful as Dolly Parton? Like, why isn't there like a deep state conspiracy to make her as famous as Dolly?
This is a genuine question you're posing me. Okay.
I don't know, because I always think the deep state is like low key backing all of Dolly Parton's accolades. I'm like, wait, she got the Nobel Peace Prize?
So you and I both share a trait that I think is not uncommon, especially among Americans these days, which is like a healthy skepticism of people who are kind of like pushed on us and lionized, especially for how amazing or charitable.
Jane Goodall. Oprah.
Do you have issues with Jane Goodall?
No, but okay. I'm just saying she gives. The reason why I brought Jane Goodall up is because Dolly Parton is on one of those pass it on billboards. Sure. And so is Jane Goodall. And those pass it on billboards are emblems of the deep state.
So look, I know where you're coming at with that. And there are a lot of people who, when they're pushing on me, I'm not, this isn't a brag, but I'll get the ick from them early on. And then they get. Like, they don't always get exposed. Sometimes I might just be wrong. But, like, whenever they're exposed, I'm like, yeah, I saw that coming. I do not at all get that sense with Dolly Parton.
I don't think she's actually, like, a malicious, malevolent
like
person.
A bad actor.
I don't think she's a bad actor.
Right.
But I just always question, as you're saying, why there's so much, like, institutional support behind certain people.
I think for her in particular, it is that she is as generous, if not more, than kind of advertised.
But also incredibly ambitious.
Yeah, you don't have a place called Dollywood because you don't have your own theme park.
Does she live there?
I don't think she lives in a theme park.
Is it like Graceland?
That's like asking if Michael Eisner lives in Disneyland or Disney World.
So it's a theme park.
Dollywood is.
I'm embarrassed I don't know any of this.
I think it's a combination of like theme park, museum. And from what I understand, she donates pretty much all, if you know, all the profits, whatever. She's just funneling it to causes she believes in. And if you watch her early interviews, there's a lot of celebrities who are revered now, and if you watch their early interviews, you're like, what a bitch ass bitch, you're probably the same bitch you always were, and you just cleaned up your act. If you watch Dolly from 40 years ago, you're just like, preach, sister.
Which brings me back to Chattel.
Go ahead. Yeah, Charles, sure.
Shadow's been consistently fantastic forever, so then why isn't there as much institutional support behind her?
Well, okay, so Charles has acted, she sings, right?
She plays dance. A mean flamenco guitar.
Yeah, and maybe it's just Dolly's skill set has a little bit more longevity, and not to make this like American or Anglo-centric, but like she's a country singer, you know? So it's like her genre.
There's more accessibility to like, at least was.
Mm-hmm. Her genre. Maybe,
yeah, if Chattel came up now, you know, she'd be Bad Bunny up in here.
Right. So why? And also, Chattel, like, kind of famously is probably 5 to 10 years older than she...
Than Dolly?
Her official age.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of
She's incredible.
Yeah, so so maybe Chattel's, like, 90 for all we know, and it's just like, rest, Chattel, rest. Like,
But I do want Chattel to have a Dollywood-esque and call it Chattel instead of Chicago. You know, That's what I'm working on. I sat over here silently while you were talking, being like... Okay, what rhymes with Chattel?
She's not from Chicago.
No, I know, but Dolly is not from Hollywood.
Chichato, yeah. Like, you plan it with Lollapalooza. You know, you just kind of co-op the two together, make one big old festival.
Yeah. I hope I'm not talking
to... No, you sound great.
What are we saying we should do?
Have our own festival, because I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
This is the Guantanamo Bay's podcast.
A Cuban cousin Kiki.
We are in a spot of the year that doesn't occur very often. It is the days in between our birthdays.
Those brief 16 days.
I was born. So
Beyonce just came out with a song called 16 Carriages, and I love that she timed it for our 16-day interim.
She did it for us, and we cannot thank Bae enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Bae.
I know, this is our Jesus year, bitch.
It is. I'm already a few days into
shopping
it.
Shopping for a cross to get nailed to. Oh,
man, I feel like I've been getting nailed to, but I mean, like,
oh, I'm crying.
Yeah, trial by fire these last few weeks. You know, a lot of different ways. And it's, you know, such a great start to the year, and then some difficulties with a dear friend of mine passing in a very sad fashion, and Hong's dad is you know, sick and getting treatment right now, and being there for them really feels great, knowing that it means a lot to them, but it's still difficult as hell for them, and it's difficult for me to watch them go through it, and
it's the worst.
Yeah, and we're all feeling it, and I just but it, you know, you just try to keep smiling, because that's all we can while we're alive.
You're a tough one to read, as I've said before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that makes me more concerned for you. And sometimes that makes me less concerned for you, because I'm like, well, maybe he'd be like me and just wail at the moon, and I'd know something was wrong.
I think it means I have a high threshold before I blow my gasket. But once the gasket is blown, you know, everyone take cover.
But I've never seen you just totally inconsolable or hysterical. At least not like in your, and I don't not even for know. The last 10 years.
Yeah. Not Brian the adult. But last night at an open mic, I did my first open mic, you know, probably in a couple weeks, because I, you know, I was in Austin for my birthday and all that. And just in the, like, I got there, said hi to, like, a lot of people. And then this guy, Nadal, who does the sound at Lyric Hyperion.
This what?
His name is Nadal.
Oh.
So I'll shout out Nadal.
You said this guy and Nadal. And I was like, this guy
and a doll?
And a doll?
Guys and dolls. But Nadal, bless him, literally just came up before the mic started. And he's just like, are you doing okay? He knew something was wrong with me.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was really sweet. And it so it feels good to be checked in on when... So check in on people if you're ever wondering about them. That's my big
I'll take check now. In on you more, Brian.
I don't care. No, I mean, we just check in on
I'll
each
bring
other.
You adult coloring books.
We check in on each
I'll
other.
I'll do art therapy with you.
Kind of nap, you know.
Show you Rorschach tests.
You don't have to be my therapist.
You're like, it looks like illness. It looks like tragedy.
It looks like disease. But that's, you know, and you being here, we had a nice little Super Bowl get together with you, me, and a few friends. And you just being here and the last few days we've hung out have been really fun. So.
Aw.
Thank you for helping me.
Aw, Brian, that's sweet. It was
you
a pleasure.
You got a friend in me.
Is that your Randy Newman?
You got a friend in me.
All right.
That's
well,
not terrible.
Yeah.
When the road looked.
Oh, okay. You
rub your head and your mouths and mouths and you nice warm bit. Have you seen him talk in an interview?
No. Does he sound like that?
Not at all. It's like how Gilbert Gottfried put on a voice. You ever heard Gilbert Gottfried leave a voicemail?
Oh, it's not. It's
he's just
not
like,
all.
Hey, this is Gilbert. If you watch Randy Newman do an interview, he's like, when you're talking about music, you know, it's like inside the actor's studio. But
that's funny.
Totally different.
I commit. I stand commitment to the bit.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, when I'm them. Saying Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah,
too.
For and I thank you on behalf. You know, he's passed on. Yeah. So I'm thanking on Gilbert's behalf.
Well, I'm not dealing with anything incredibly tragic, but I was a busy little beaver today.
Okay, yeah. You know what? Let's turn this on its ear. Let's talk about Julian's day, and I want to hear it, cuz.
So I woke up. I called my parents over a canned mocha.
Like a Starbucks?
It was from La Colombe.
Okay.
I got delivery. I got a burrito
Your
delivered.
You're boycotting Starbucks because of Gaza.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Which isn't very difficult for me. I never go to Starbucks anyway, unless I'm like in a pinch.
I got you.
No, it's from La Colombe. But anyway, I'll keep going. I wrote an 8-page paper in about 2 hours. Wow. I shot a self-tape with you here. Mm-hmm. Drove back home, took a 40-minute nap, woke up, packed for my trip to Joshua Tree that I'm going on tomorrow, mm-hmm. made scrambled eggs, ate them, saw 2 movies.
Whoa. In theaters?
In theaters with a 30-minute break in between at a restaurant called Panini Kebab in the Burbank Mall, and now I'm fucking here.
Wow, that's so
that's
funny.
Impressive, right?
I mean, that's really impressive, and it's funny because you're like, I got so much done, and I'm just like, oh my god, like he must have worked so hard.
And 5 hours of that was just watching
was mostly movies. Well, because eating panini at a Burbank, like two of the items were made eggs, ate eggs. I'm like, okay, I feel like we're stretching this a little more than it has to.
I'm impressed with myself. And also, something I think you already know about me is, like, I go to see movies, like, there, it's an obligation.
Yeah.
Because I really want to see them in theaters.
You and Quinn have that in common. Y'all are so damn similar.
And I'm going out of town tomorrow to Joshua Tree. And then on Saturday, my parents come in for like a week. Mm-hmm. And so I just, I want to check these boxes. So that way I'm just totally, and I still have one more paper to do before they get here. But I'm fucking killing it. So
how do you feel? That's killing it. That's great.
And it all hinged on me doing that self-tape for no longer than 20 minutes when I got here.
Hey, you came in. I've never seen you breeze in here, shoot, and then breeze out that fast.
Yeah, I did read the lines off the television, but I think I sold it.
Yeah, you watched it back. You were happy with it.
I had
a note, and then I was like, yeah, for the second take, maybe do that. You're like, yeah, yeah, hold on. You watch. You're like, I'm good. You just deuced out of there. You're like, they'd be so lucky to get a tape from me.
What was your note?
Oh, my note? I was like, play it like you're trying to seduce her more. Or like, you know, you're trying to, you know, because it was like a lobbyist
talking
to a fundraiser of some kind.
Yeah. Know? And I was like, whatever, I seduced. Oh, she dumb and seduced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little heavy handed, but maybe that's what they're going for. They wanted a broad take, right? I'm just fucking with you. I'm sorry, Jules.
Anyway, I could do anything and my day was incredible.
You did amazing. Jules, it was a good take. It was a good take.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
What movies did you see?
The first one was called Molly and Max in the Future. And it's Zasha Mamet. I don't know who the male lead was, but it like takes place in the future. And it's like a long-winded rom-com that is kind of like intergalactic. And, you know, you see them like, you know, flirting about like soda from the future and stuff. It's fun.
So
and he's like a robot boxer, essentially. Like he like.
Instead of 16 candles, it's like 1110011 candles, you know. Like
yeah.
But
less teenagery, you know, they're like, you know, in their 20s.
Okay.
Nice. It was fun. It was actually really inventive. And then the second film was called Out of Darkness.
I feel like I've heard of that one.
It's about like a bunch of cavemen who are terrorized by a thing in the dark. So it's interesting how, like, the first film I saw was in the future, and the second one I saw was in the past. But I do think it didn't quite stick the landing for me, the second one. But it was short, which I appreciated.
Did you like the space one?
I did.
Okay.
I did. That may be on my end of year list. We'll see.
Now, when it's early.
It's early.
Now, you know, with more obligations in school and things like that, how is
who knows what other movies are coming out that I'm gonna have to see?
How's that cutting into your movie time? Like you said, this is an obligation for you. How are you balancing those responsibilities?
So I'm pretty good at time management. Again, sometimes things fall by the wayside. Like I saw another movie.
8 hours of that time is seeing movies. Well, damn it, I'm there on time and I stay the whole time.
Well, and last night I went to go see one of the nominees for a best documentary called To Kill a Tiger. About this family in India, and the young daughter of the family is gang raped, and the father seeks out seeks justice for his daughter. But about an hour through, I was like, you know what, baby's got to go because baby's got a long day tomorrow. So it's funny, sometimes you just do everything half-assed, and by everything I mean, you know, watching movies.
Yeah, and you know, hey, that movie's not going anywhere. You could always find it again.
Yeah, I'd love to finish it on an airplane.
Totally. Well, you know, as the Guantanamo Bays, is it about time to cover some news stories?
Yeah, let's indeed get on an airplane and go to the motherland.
News from the motherland.
Yes.
Where Julian and I, for those not in the know, we're a couple of first generation.
A couple of Cuban guys. A
couple of wild and crazy Cuban cousins. Having the kiki.
All right, Brian, you're laying it
that's
on
a,
too
that's
thick.
That's a Cuban accent, but it's more of a Greek accent.
Oh, wow. The fact you got that, I was like, that could be any country.
Honey, I'm getting regional. But we like to cover news from the motherland, where our mothers are from, Cuba. And a couple interesting things happened. One big thing happened in Cuba. Just
January
31st. January 131, as the Cubans will remember. No, it's not even that level of like tragedy. Many Cubans would argue it wasn't a tragedy at all.
Well, they were going to hike the cost of gas.
The Cuban government has had announced a number of measures to ease their economic woes, compounded by the U.S. embargo and other things. And one of those measures was going to quintuple the price of gas.
Isn't everything already inflated there?
Yes.
So why would that help their economy if they inflate it more?
It's about paying money back to the government so they could distribute, you know, redistribute it in a way that will ease prices, which critics claimed, based on the measures, they said this isn't going to be effective in easing the island's economic woes. So there were critics of this bill. There were proponents of this bill. But in a turn of events,
plot twist,
announced by the Cuban government, and frankly, we do not know what's true and what is not. All we know is that they announced there was a cyber attack, wouldn't you know it, the day before the price increase. So, and all we know is that it is a quote-unquote, like, foreign, abroad cyber attack that came in. And because
so they said.
So they said.
You and I also speculated that maybe they backpedaled on wanting to
quintuple an unpopular it. Bill, yes. And because of that cyber attack, they're going to postpone these rate hikes. And that's what we know. And that has caused Western Union to be all, you know, Western Union, of course, the financial service, you know, payment company where you famously used to, like, send payments abroad. So immigrants use Western Union a lot to send money back to
Cuba. Remittances.
Yeah, remittances. You know, Cuba, you know, all other countries that they come from. So...
For some reason, I can't say Western Union or remittance without feeling like there's six marbles in my mouth. That's my Randy Newman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, cyber attacks have happened in Cuba already. She already had hers.
Well, cyber attacks happen to everyone, and everyone's doing them to other people in other countries. Cuba, also another news story that came out just a couple days ago. It was discovered that from between 2021 and 2022, a Cuban hacking group had stolen $60 million from the U.S. government. This was just announced in the last week or so, you know?
And so, in our next episode, guys, we'll be interviewing them.
Yes, we're going to
interview... From an undisclosed location.
Cuban Anonymous in a parking garage. But they're claiming to have been attacked. We know that they had attacked the U.S. recently. I'm not even disputing that they are attacked, but it seems mighty convenient that it would happen the day before these unpopular measures. So now the communist government can take a step back and, you know, refigure the bill.
Reassess.
And like, yeah. Yeah. Something that won't get them strung
Well,
up.
If it was a foreign entity, who is it? Because also you initially guessed that it would be internal, that like it was like a Cuban citizen that was just...
Well, my thought
was... A master
was,
hacker that was like, no, I don't want my mom to pay five times more.
Orale, way. Yeah.
I feel like that's more Mexican, the orale way.
Yeah, orale is definitely more Mexican, but it just comes so easily out of my mouth. I'd said the biggest... Yeah, who benefits the most is the average Cuban citizen of, theoretically, the cyber attack if it's going to delay these rate
So
hikes.
Is this a global vigilante?
Yeah, and... You know, who would cyber attack Cuba? I guess the U.S. is always a good bet.
But wouldn't the U.S. want the gas price to go up so Cubans either flee or probably starve?
Well, if you're just asking me who's likely to hack Cuba, it frankly could be anyone. The U.S. is always a good bet, but...
Oh my God.
First of all, they kind of have their hands tied.
It was totally Brian, guys.
It was me. Is it because I'm like my body language is showing you that I'm like guilty?
Well, no, because you were like, you know, it could be anyone. It could be someone right under your nose, you know?
The answer was under them the whole time.
SWAT, open up. It's like, guys, you're hearing it live here on Guantanamo Bay. Brian is being taken in handcuffs.
Not going to take me alive like you did, Elion, you fucking pigs.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it's just like a recreation of the Elion photo.
Yeah,
they're like
exactly.
Dragging you out of a closet.
Yeah, like Julian's holding me like I'm a little 9-year-old boy.
I could never lift all that ass.
All this
Brian.
Ass. Yeah, there's a lot of ass to lift. Samesies. Yeah, so I'm gonna just play the rest of the podcast like I'd committed that.
No, but honestly, who do you? So you have no guess?
I don't. Well, I don't know what proof we have that a cyber attack occurred.
So that's more where you're. That's where you're placing your bet.
Yeah. That's probably where I'd
the
place
call's
my
coming
bet
from
right
inside
now.
The house.
It often is with Cuba in a lot of ways. It is pretty insular. And they have been largely on their own since the collapse of the Soviet Union. So, you know, but now there's a big old tug of war for them.
Why can't the government just have the humility? I can't even finish that. But
You just answered your own question,
like,
babe.
Wouldn't it be so popular if they were like, actually, guys, not yet. We're not going to raise the gas anymore. Fucking have a party.
I think it's always politically popular to, you know, be attacked and be able to deflect blame.
Yeah.
It's politics 101, yeah. Baby.
I mean, I considered invading Iraq with everyone else around 04, you know, my arm.
They made some good arguments. And I remember,
I mean, girl, after October 7th this year, I was just shook. I'm just kidding.
I remember Oprah, like, she had someone on her show justifying the invasion, I don't know, like a Donald Rumsfeld or something. And there's a woman in the audience who was like, so what proof do we have that they have WMDs? And Oprah shamed this woman in just...
A lot of people are out in these streets shaming Oprah, dude.
Are you talking about Monique?
On the Shay Shay interview?
I listened to... Yeah, I finished it today.
Yeah. She was like, because Miss Oprah knows what she did. And that was
the way she's approaching it is so perfect.
It's delicious.
It's so perfect.
I love Monique. Yeah. And apparently Taraji also has beef with Oprah. Also, one of my good friends sat next to Oprah at a funeral and said she was none too kind. But I'm like, well, girl, like...
Yeah.
And the girl was like...
I'm not very nice at a funeral.
Yeah, and the girl was like 12 years old, but still...
Yeah.
Or like 14, I don't know. But I'm like, she doesn't owe you anything.
She doesn't owe you anything.
Especially at a funeral.
Yeah. If anything, she's the one who gave you this amazing story you're going to tell everyone for the rest of your life. But... I love that Club Shay Shay has turned into this place for people to air out their grievances.
I thought Sean Evans from Hot Ones, right? What's his name?
Yeah, Sean Evans, I think.
I thought he was our Dick Cavett, but Shay Shay's our Dick Cavett.
Damn. Shannon Sharp. Who would have thought that New Orleans Saints tight end Shannon Sharp would be... the Dick Cavett of... And he always approaches it saying, I'm not a journalist. And I think part of his power is that he comes from sports, not movies and TV. So he gets to be a neutral arbiter. So when people...
He has less of an inclination to perform.
Or to choose a side. Because he wants everyone to get along. So when people, like Cedric the Entertainer, when all these people came on his podcast and started just kind of shooting the shit, thinking they could get away with it, and Cat Williams was like, I will not stand for this, and then told on them. And now Monique is doing her version of it, which I think they're both justified, and I cannot wait for their comedy tour together.
Well, I wonder if Shay Shay would be as tight-lipped as we are about who we think did this hack. He'd probably have less hot takes than us about it. And that's such is the power of Shay Shay. And that's also me ham-fisting the Cuban topics so we don't talk about Monique instead, which is so us.
Which I was about to say, I feel like we were about to pivot into Monique for like the next 10 minutes.
Probably. We could have, and that's why partly I was scooping water out of the boat. Why I was appealing to...
What an apt metaphor for the two of us.
Yeah, while I was appealing to La Virgen de la Caridad that she appeared to us in those tumultuous seas.
Can I tell you a story that happened recently? You know, because I was helping out Hong and her family with their situation. My work had suffered for it, and I was like not following up with leads for my sales job the way that I should have. And this lady got mad at me, and you know, I saw that she's a Christian artist, so I'm like, okay, she'll understand where I'm coming from. I'm like, ma'am, I've been helping out my girlfriend, her dad, and the situation. She goes, there's power in prayer. And I'm like, ma'am, I know. We drive to this Virgin Mary statue and we pray to it. And she goes, oh, it sounds like you're Catholic. I only pray to Jesus.
You kind of did yourself dirty by saying Virgin Mary. And as a secular person, Brian, I could teach you how to talk to religious people. You're the secular person. I'm vaguely religious.
Well,
bitch, that was a hanging participle, I suppose, right?
I know, but okay. Here was my justification for specifically bringing up the La Virgen, because
La Virgen,
yeah,
La Virgen,
yeah,
dude, that means vagina. No, I'm just kidding. Virgen. Anyway, keep going.
She, you know, she tells me to pray. Like, we went to that Mary statue for like half an hour and cried, and that statue in particular is like known to be a very powerful relic of sorts.
But you know, Christianity doesn't believe in relics. That's
but Catholicism.
The
does.
More, yeah, the yeah. more emphasis there is on like material. That's
maybe I said the wrong word for relic, but
Yeah. But that's shitty of her to like push her particular brand of.
Oh, as far as words of comfort, it was like the cuntiest I've ever heard. And I try not to say that, but I keep looking at the thesaurus. It always comes back to cunt. So.
I love that you were like, surely there's another word.
No. I searched it. And just,
so she was upset with you for not following up in recently?
Yeah, she was.
Man, when I worked at that company, I got different leads, bro. They were like, just don't call me for another week.
No, she talked to another rep, you know, didn't like them or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, that happens. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then somehow got pushed to me, and I got to field other people's, got to catch other people's smoke, you know?
Yeah.
So, but still, you know, it's not on top of my game, nor should I be, frankly.
Yeah.
And people got to appreciate that, or they could shove it.
And thankfully, the CRM you used crashed that day, or you would have raised the cost on her by five times.
Yeah, we were gonna put in some security measures in, which would raise our prices, but due to a crash in the system, we decided to keep our prices as is.
Yeah.
That'd be a really funny sales email to get, like, our prices are going up. Oh, wait, we crashed. They're staying where they are.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a lot of incentive in, like, building a security infrastructure for Cuba. Obviously, that'd be external, and I don't know who they would trust.
Well, I'm sure they have their own internal security infrastructure there. Internet is extremely exclusive. You know, it's they run on a really tightly regulated network. But it's also probably not as robust or advanced as like a lot of other countries' web, you know, cybersecurity infrastructure.
Yeah.
Or capacity to attack.
And I wonder if the person that hacked it wanted to somehow manipulate the global market by not raising the cost of gas in Cuba.
This is
a butterfly flaps its wings, bitch.
This is assuming that this was an actual cyber attack from an outside source.
See, there you go again being secular. I'm like, I have faith. I believe they were hacked.
I believe in the word of the communist government at their word with tremendously.
Maybe that is a difference between us, though. I don't think they're as disingenuous as you do.
The communist government?
No, I just think they're, like, scrambling.
No, I think, sure, of course they are. I don't doubt that at all. No, I don't trust any government, no matter what they call themselves. I don't trust the Cuban government. I don't trust the government. They happen to be communists.
Okay, Texas.
Say they are. Yeah.
Well, here in California, I pay 50% in taxes.
And if they don't...
to say, look at tents.
And these cars don't run, you know what I'm saying? So, got it. Go down the border, protect my land. It's like, where is this going? Brian, Texas doesn't border Cuba.
I am curious to see how this changes with the more influx of cash that comes in from abroad. And our uncle, Hanoi, I think is selling property there in Cuba.
They immigrated from Cuba, you know. Are they some of the most recent immigrants in our family to come from Cuba?
Yeah, I would say the most recent.
Early 2010s, right? Late 2000s, yeah. 2010s.
Yeah.
I remember when they first crossed over and, you know.
It's very emotional.
It just and it's cool to just have two family members show up and just ingratiate, you know, be ingratiated into the family like that. And now they're just regulars at, and he's a real estate agent. He's done very well in Florida. And now, I guess apparently, has a real estate license in Cuba.
Wow.
And here's the flippy side of that. Yeah.
Why do you got to be all cute about it? It's called the flip side.
It comes natural, Julian.
I wouldn't know. The flip side. It's like, ow, your talons.
But the flip side of that is that U.S. exports to Cuba, I don't know if it's an all-time high, but it is certainly at a record high in recent years due to their private sector, which is at odds, really, with the communist government, which claimed to just have been hacked. And it's really the private sector that's the straw stirring the drink there. And Hanoi, I imagine, his real estate endeavor probably forged through a private sector relationship that's emerging in Cuba. And he was there, guys. He gets to have an opinion on the government.
Should we make a Guantanamo Bay subdivision in Cuba?
Yes.
Little boxes on the hillside. Made finally, I can like implement my fascist Palm Springs architectural vision. <The people. laughs> If you're not in a pink jumpsuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess jumpsuits kind of dark. I'm just talking about buildings, not uniforms.
Yeah.
I don't believe in like a set uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, going back to growing up in the church, I did my time, homie.
You did your time.
I wore plenty of uniforms.
We all did our time. Look, buddy, we're all baptized. We're all confirmed. You did a lot more time in church.
I wasn't
than
confirmed,
I did.
Much to my mother's lament and chagrin. She said, listen, go to a few classes, go to the retreat, and if you still don't want to do it, then that's your prerogative.
And this was around the time you wanted to convert to Judaism.
About a year or two after.
Right. Crazy.
But now I am but a quilt of different theologies and philosophies.
How am I confirmed and you're not?
I know, dude.
That's crazy. Sacraments. Tutu would not have it any other way.
Yeah.
She got my communion and confirmation all in one fell swoop.
And that's all distinctly Catholic, too. Those sacraments are a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you must be Catholic.
And I was considering getting confirmed mostly for my mom's sake, and she was like, don't do that.
What a G.
I think I've understood now my... I think I understand now how to engage with the religion in a way that makes sense for me. And I think that does exclude confirmation.
And you know what, cuz? I very much feel the same way. But as an insurance policy, I'm glad I got confirmed. Now, are you ready to dive into a world?
Our brains are so different.
Look, the fact that I ever like in
religion. I'm like, what do the police have to do with insurance? Insurance policy.
Yeah. Roxanne. That police. So, this is actually a really good segue, because we have another segment we want to cover.
Okay.
On this episode. It's the world according to Jules.
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
This is where I read Julian a headline from the week that was. He gives me his unfiltered response from that unfiltered brain of his, and I don't interrupt him, even if I want to. Even if he makes it so easy.
You interrupt me, but also I don't need a set amount of time. Like, we could, whatever. We'll swim in the stew together, sis.
Are you going to let me? I'm about to give you 30 to 60 uninterrupted seconds. You got to talk over my description of this. Okay. Well, this is so relevant. This is why I want to tap into it. Because do you believe in the miracle of immaculate conception? First of all, do you?
No.
Okay.
And that's for me in the Catholic Church. That's
you don't believe in La Virgen? En realidad?
I believe she's an incredible woman who raised an incredible person.
Say no more. Okay. Are you ready for your...
I don't know. That's the truth, but I can't say with conviction that I believe in it.
Sure. Here's your miracle, honey.
Was it possible?
Sure. Here Maybe. Is your miracle. Charlotte, a stingray with no male companion, is pregnant in her mountain aquarium. Your thoughts.
Don't seahorses get pregnant on their own? Why can't stingrays? As someone that loves oceanic aesthetic, and when I say oceanic, I just mean like I have a screensaver of a coral reef, but surely if a seahorse could have a baby on its own, a stingray can too. I don't think we should make icons of the stingray. I don't think it needs to be written into scripture. I think we should leave her the fuck alone, because you see what happens when you don't. And that's the final scene in E.T. when all these guys in hazmat suits are chasing after E.T. They're in a van. He's in a bicycle. And he ultimately has to go back home. I don't want the stingray to go back to whatever planet fucking stingrays come from.
Time.
Could you imagine a planet where that stingrays came from?
You know, I have an easy...
It's called the sea.
I have an easy time envision. So, yes, besides the sea, and I agree with you, I can easily envision a planet of stingrays because so many planets are like gaseous and
they would just be floating in
their
gas.
Molecules are in this sort of ether, and I see, and stingrays themselves
and their
have
skeletal
this,
systems are very rudimentary, so
they're
I feel
conducive
like,
to that,
and they could adapt to different environments.
It looks like the gas formations of Jupiter, you know, stingrays do in a way.
They're cool. Have you ever touched one?
Oh, I scuba dive with stingrays.
Oh, plenty.
Well, so I've touched them at aquariums, and I scuba dive with them, and they do bury themselves underneath. And for the first time, I was able to be like, I see how Steve Irwin fucking died like this.
I was going to say, don't Steve Irwin yourself.
Yeah. And it's a fluke because it never happens with the way that they do that. But like, just when I was close to the ocean floor or the sea floor and I'd see a stingray come out, my heart would skip a beat because I'm like...
Wasn't Steve Irwin trying to handle it?
I probably, knowing him. He was being, I'm sure, in a very reverent fashion. But.
Not always.
No, but he did so
not
much
to, like,
to advance wildlife causes.
I know. I'm not out here trying to drag Mr. Irwin.
Yeah. Let him rest, Julian.
I've told you before that if I was like a villain or just had a shitload of money and lived in Miami, I would have a black lit aquarium when you walk in filled with jellyfish.
Yeah, you don't need to like be a villain to have jellyfish. I understand the motif in a way, but I would have
But
that.
Unless I'm an arms dealer, there's no way I could there's no way I could afford that particular pH solution to be maintained all the time.
Fair. Only arms dealers can. So
that shit's expensive.
You have to be a villain, really, to afford jellyfish.
I think so. Yeah. It would not be a cheap enterprise.
That's fair.
Enterprise. I don't know. Cheap, whatever. I don't know what the fuck that word
the
is.
The enterprise of owning a jellyfish aquarium.
By Julian Goza.
A think piece for the 21st century.
You got another piece for me?
Yep. Your next story. Sir Winston Churchill.
Why'd you gesture to me? Yeah.
I'm not saying you are Winston. Just want to make sure you're familiar with the man's.
You needed a monster to defeat Hitler. I was the monster. Corgis in the background. Little bits, keep those damn dogs down.
Wait, didn't he have corgis too? He had beagles.
He did. God, the two most English fucking dogs just plodding around with their tiny little...
They're states people.
No, I'd have an American pit bull if I was president.
Yeah, I'm just talking about, yeah, like the thought... I mean, it is funny, right? And Hitler had a German shepherd, but... Are you ready to hear this news story?
Yeah. I feel like we're all over the place, but you're sad and I'm tired. Can I make it any more obvious?
No, people are liking this, I can tell.
Okay, good.
Okay. Sir Winston Churchill's false teeth snapped up at an auction for 18,000 British pounds sterling. Your thoughts?
I think 18,000 pounds is the perfect cost for Winston Churchill's dentures. As someone that follows the speculative art market and collector's market, that actually seems pretty reasonable. I am considering getting veneers, at least on a few teeth. I don't know if you could see from the profile, but there's like a big... I mean, you will say no, because, you know, you're a straight guy that dates women and knows how to say no. But
these teeth make me look fat? I mean, but right literally, there. Literally, no. I don't. What do you mean, make you look fat?
No, I was.
But like, drawing as a metaphor. But they
I was
don't.
Drawing a...
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about when you're showing me those teeth about how them being bad.
Thanks. I'm just hyper vain and shit.
I know.
But yeah, go Winston Churchill for getting those. I feel like, especially in Britain, he was probably one of the first of his kind to do so. Money, 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 money. And maybe I'll be a general. For better cosmetic care and dental care.
Time.
Ever since I became a authoritarian figure, they give me all sorts of filler in my face.
When did you become authoritarian?
Well, I was just saying, like, if you were to follow what I just said by, like,
right.
I want to be, you know, a general or whatever.
With a jellyfish tank and veneers.
And veneers, yeah.
We're just adding lists.
A Brazilian butt lift.
Adding lists of the villain. To the villain shopping spree.
If this was an actual villain in James Bond, I'd be like, finally. Fucking
with
finally.
Jellyfish taking a BBL and veneers. And, you know,
I'd
like,
be like, this one's for us.
And one of those like weird Jeff Bezos six packs that he like worked really hard for. He's like also really well versed in MMA, you know, microdoses.
God,
where's the James Bond villain that microdoses?
On mushrooms?
Yeah, while he like works.
Jeff Bezos microdoses on mushrooms?
Well, a lot of Silicon Valley people do.
God.
Oh, yeah.
Take more, fuckers.
I don't know. I think just chill is the idea.
Just
take,
chill.
Take them and chill.
It's so sobering that even Jeff Bezos is like, I gotta get rid of my gut.
Yeah, that is funny.
Wow.
That is funny. All the money in the world.
And you still can't buy self-confidence.
Or a personality.
Isn't he Cuban? He's half Cuban, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, we figured out Karamo was Cuban. I guess we said it on the last episode.
Did we? Or did we say
it's
that
just in a
conversation?
It's worth mentioning he's half Cuban.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, and I love it.
I love it, too.
Oh, I have a perfect segue. What do we call our Boricua Bays? I guess our Boricua Bays.
I like Boricua Bays. San Juan Sisters.
We said San Juan Sisters. So J-Lo, did you hear about this SNL J-Lo Io Adebri drama?
I actually did a little deep dive because she made a reference to it in one of the sketches.
Yeah.
Ayo did.
Well, Ayo. talked smack about J-Lo on a podcast.
Again? Or like, this was from the past.
This is from the past.
Yeah. Io had referenced this in one of the SNL sketches.
No, I know, but okay. I'm giving listeners...
Oh, yeah, give them the context. Yeah, the sorry, context. Guys. Sorry, guys. Go ahead while I drink this whiskey.
Yeah, that'll help you not...
interrupt you.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, Julian, I know all about this.
I know. It's like, but they may not, fucker. You forgot you had a microphone in your hand or what? So Io talked about how, like, Jennifer Lopez is an underwhelming pop star, which, like, on its face is true. But if you actually, like, think about it, it's not true.
If you look at the oeuvre.
Sure. But, like, she's never been a writer. And you know who else isn't? Beyonce. Like, you know, and actually, I think they're actually more similar than the culture would probably like to admit.
I don't disagree.
I fucking think J-Lo's awesome. But anyway, Io said some shit and then was hosting SNL, and Jennifer Lopez was the musical guest. So it was pretty awkward. Someone unearthed that podcast from a few years ago, the morning that that SNL episode was going to be taped. And Jennifer Lopez...
And posted about it? Like before that episode had taped? Did that person unearth it? Like, when you say they unearthed it, like... It became public knowledge hours before SNL was about to go live.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is why they probably wrote in that line for Io in that sketch.
Yeah, it was pretty on the fly for them to do that. And it was a nice save. And today, there was a piece with Variety.
Oh, hell yeah.
With J-Lo.
I'm so glad this has legs.
And it's fresh off the press today. J-Lo said that Io came up to her before the taping on Saturday with tears in her eyes. She's super apologetic. Wow. And J-Lo was like, honestly, though, it didn't really upset me because people have been saying that for years, which was like such a great J-Lo response.
Yeah. Yeah. She's heard it all.
There's a really great 73 questions on the Vogue YouTube channel with J-Lo. Mm-hmm. And they ask her, they go, if you could have anyone play you in a biopic, who would it be? And she goes, she hasn't been born yet. And I was just like, slay, mama.
Yeah. That's a very... J-Lo answer, you know, a really good answer for J-Lo's people to have crafted for her. They definitely knew what they were doing. No, it's okay. We can edit around you. Run to the kitchen and blow your nose. Could you maybe just put the
the tissue knot
not on the couch that
from
your
bare
that
foot.
I sit on? Yeah, yeah. Just a small note. You know what? This might be a good chance. And just wax a little poetic on this, if you might.
Uh-oh.
This will be your makeshift gad of the week.
Okay.
You like Drag Race. I like Drag Race. I think anyone who sits down and watches it at least gets their jollies off because it's a raucous good time.
And it's really impressive. They have to do everything.
It's a feat in so many ways. It's a feat of photography, frankly, and like the production, and then the queens themselves. Recently, for the first time ever, there was a drag queen from your hometown of Brownsville.
Geneva Carr.
Yeah. So, maybe in honor of her getting eliminated, spoiler, you wax a little poetic.
Although, also, if you're listening to this podcast and you're gay, I hope by now...
This isn't a spoiler.
You've seen this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
And if you don't, you know, if you didn't know, maybe you're not gay. But...
Maybe everything you've done... is a lie.
Yeah. It was all just physical. Did you ever think about that? Settle down. Have a family. But
move to Cuba. Buy a house.
I want you to wax a little poetic about how you come from a very unrecognized portion of the U.S. and yet also a very important one. And how
I grew up in the tunnels. I'm a mole person.
But also how...
But also, but on top of that fact...
Like, yes, we take it for granted you're a tunnel person. We know this. But... to watch someone out and proud and queenie from Brownsville rep the city on Drag Race, which is like such a cultural staple from such an overlooked part of the country and overlooked city that you come from.
It's a very overlooked part of the country, and therefore I don't want to talk about it, or else we're going to be looking like your hometown in a few years.
Well, dude, there's nothing that you're not going to say that she didn't already say a whole much fuck ton over.
Who? Geneva Carr?
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm not going to say things she did?
Like whatever impact you have in talking about Brownsville is going to be very minimal compared to what she said.
I think it's impressive that Brownsville has a queen on Drag Race because one of our neighboring cities that's much bigger, McAllen has never had a queen on Drag Race. Not to be all like tribal and competitive because they are our neighbors after all. Mm-hmm. But I just think that's surprising because McAllen tends to have more resources. And Geneva and the queens that do really well... have resources. Geneva yeah. is so impressive in that, because I know that town, as do you, but I grew up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a place that's really strapped for resources, 100%. For access to things outside of the valley. Mm-hmm. And when I say valley, I mean the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas.
Anything north of Sarita.
Yeah. You know, we live below an immigration checkpoint
right.
on the freeway. I mean, it's totally isolated. And a few weeks ago, Geneva Carr was cast as a character named Lindsey Graham, who, this is drag, was a woman, yeah. but it was still a reference to Senator Lindsey Graham, and yeah. she didn't know that. And my friend was like, what a dumb bitch not knowing Lindsey Graham. And I was like, why would she know Lindsey Graham? Like, is someone from Brownsville like, no one knows who Lindsey Graham is? You know why? Because we're not the United States, bitch. Yeah. We don't care who the senator from South Carolina is.
Or like, we have more pressing day-to-day things to worry about than Lindsey Graham, believe it or not.
Or maybe the best thing about it is that, like, we don't worry about too much. Like, again, maybe it's just in the immediate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I stand Brownsville. I don't think I'll ever move back, mostly because of the humidity, but...
And just, yeah, the way that you describe McAllen as... Would you call McAllen...
The pretty girl.
Right. Would you call McAllen the capital of the valley? Unofficially.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Where does Harlingen rank?
Harlingen's a golf course.
And an airport.
Which I don't fly out of anymore. Brownsville got a bigger airport.
Good. Good for Brownsville.
So we're on the map between Drag Race and the new airport.
I'd say the needle's pointing straight up for Brownsville.
Yeah.
And hopefully the valley, it holds such a special place in my heart.
Me too. It's an interesting place.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more or less what I wrote about in my cultural autobiography today, that 7-to-8-page essay that I finished, that I started and finished today. I was just talking about, you know, the specifics of being from Brownsville and what that meant when I went to school on the East Coast. And
I think your story too, like once you're able to like fully articulate in a way that's like, you know, you can put the pieces together of what your story is. I think it's one... absolutely worth telling because it's such a, you know, crossover episode of so many different occurrences.
And there's a lot of whiplash.
Yeah, 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 totally. And I think in a way we have that in common, but Brownsville, you know, the flavor of Brownsville for you in particular is what I think is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool place to be from. But enough about my competition. Let's talk about yours.
What is my competition?
The Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. We had a Super Bowl.
We didn't even
party.
Dabble. We didn't even really talk about that.
Well, I think the biggest story from the Super Bowl, clearly, which we all clocked, is when Taylor Swift caught the ick from Travis Kelce. Do you remember when that was?
Oh, at the end when he was like doing his Neanderthal scream into the microphone.
Yes, he did a very cringy rendition of Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
And we saw her.
Also, Usher got married after the game. Did you see that?
What? No.
In like a Vegas wedding chapel, I hope with an Elvis impersonator, or better yet, Shadow.
I don't know if he was dating anyone or what his situationships were. I didn't know. I still don't know.
I think that's so great of him. Had a way to celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. That's a cool way to honor what was such a big moment for him. You know, he's like, I have a Vegas residency. They asked me to play Vegas at the Super Bowl. And like, if you got a boo thing that you want to marry, it's like, hey, let's have a perfect day.
Two birds, one poker chip.
Yeah, I think that's really lovely. Yeah, two. And well put. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce kissed at the end of the game to Taylor Swift's song Love Story.
No.
And I said, Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone.
Careful, I hear the sound of Universal suing us.
That's true. We got it. Or more specifically, Taylor.
Yeah.
But the game did pick up. I'm glad you let me culture vulture. I'm glad you're sweet.
No culture vulture at all. You know, Super Bowl parties are for everyone.
I started to get repetitive with like how many jokes I was making about how I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And I was like, all right, like chill, girl.
No, you did great.
You're in their church, honey.
You did great. You did great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You're going to love.
It was a really fun thought. That was such
how would
funny
you rank
moment.
That game? God, we've so switched positions. You're like, another thing about Taylor, and I'm like, what'd you think of the game, Brian?
This doesn't happen often, so I'm going to relish it. Maybe the worst Super Bowl in modern history happened in 2018. Or it happened in 2019, but it was for the 2018 season. The Patriots defeated the Los Angeles Rams. It was 13-3.
You're such a fucking Rain Man with this.
I know. 13-3. Every Super Bowl since then has been pretty entertaining. This game was not until the second half.
Until I'd say the last quarter, right?
Yeah, you could say that. But the second half, but yeah, even the early part of the second half dragged. But The last quarter, thrilling overtime. It wasn't the team that I wanted to win because my sweet little baby likes the Niners. She doesn't care about football, but if she has to have a team, it's the Niners. And with everything she was going through, I was pulling for her and the Niners. And she was watching it, you know, from her dad's hospital room, you know. So we were texting too while it was all happening. Yeah. But, you know, she doesn't care about football, so it didn't hurt her. Honestly, I was probably rooting for the Niners harder than she was, but it was nice to have something to keep up with her while we were having our little party here. Yeah.
You had a lovely party.
Thank you. It's very impromptu. I had just flown back in from Austin, but you know, a lot of great, you know, the three people was, you know, that were
I know
there.
I say party and it's like everyone was there.
No, it was four of us total.
There were cars down the block. There was a valet.
It was you, me, and Dan. Or you, me, Dan, and Quinn.
And
but,
Quinnithan.
But good Quinnithan, but good folks overall. And yeah. I wouldn't change a thing.
Aw.
Well, should we put a button on this one?
Let's put a button on it. Also, happy birthday, Brian.
Happy early birthday to you, cousin.
Thank you so much. I don't think I'll record next week because I'm going to be with my mom and my papa.
We'll both be. You know, I mean, you'll be with them more, but I'll be going.
But you'll be there a little bit.
With y'all. You're like,
my
mom.
And my baller mom rented a pretty house up in the hills.
No way, a whole house.
So if you want to come up, you know.
I can't wait.
There's not an extra bedroom or nothing.
I'm not going to. No, well, look.
We can set up a cot on the balcony. You'll wake up to a lovely view. Look, degrees.
I'll Uber to your place from there, and then just stay overnight at your place because it'll be on the way. It'll be closer. Is it close to your place?
Super.
Okay, great. Yeah, like I said, I'll stay at your place. Just kidding. Are you gonna stay the night at their place when they're here?
Yeah,
that's cute.
I need a little breaky poo from my apartment.
Sweet. That'll be so cute.
Well, from the Guantanamo Bays, I'm Julian Goza.
I'm Brian Bogart.
Buenas noches.
Hasta luego.